Hi, everyone. This is the How to Lower Your Tax Bill podcast. I'm your host, Terrence Hutchins. I'm a financial and tax advisor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the goal of this podcast is to help you listeners get educated on different tax strategies that you can implement to improve your tax situation immediately. Each episode, we'll break down useful tax tips you can use to save money, no matter what your personal or business income situation. Because our motto is, keep more of what you earn. So let's get into today's episode. All right, so thanks for tuning in to another How to Lower Your Tax Bill podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about installment sales. So I'm going to tell you guys what is an installment sale, why you should consider it, how installment sales are taxed. We're going to go into the different types of installment sales. We're going to talk about a few special situations that are related to installment sales. We'll give you some tips, and then we'll talk through a tax court case that specifically went through an installment sale in the past. So first, what is an installment sale? Simply, it just means that you sold something that you received a payment for in more than one tax year. So if you owned a property, you decided you want to sell that property, and you didn't receive all the money for it this year, then you would effectively have an installment sale. Why you would intentionally do this is for a few reasons. Number one, you get to defer the tax. So if I receive a payment this year and I receive the payment next year, that means that I got to defer a portion of the tax that would have all been owed this year. I get to defer a portion of it to next year or the year after or whenever I receive future payments. So I can actually reduce my total tax out of pocket, which could help me because maybe I'm able to avoid being at the top capital gain tax rate. For example, for 2025, the top capital tax rate is at 20% if you are over $600,000. So if I have a greater than $600,000 gain, I'm going to pay 20% tax on it versus I would potentially pay 15% if I got below that. Plus, if it's not for a business asset, so I'm not selling a business property that I own, or I'm not a real estate professional is selling a property, then I would actually pay an extra 3.8 on top of that. So I could go from paying 23.8% to potentially 15%, depending on my circumstance. There is a way to reduce the amount of tax I pay total, plus deferring it, which means I have more money now that can be deployed into other stuff. My tax year in the future might be different. So let's say next year, I have a big tax loss coming up from another investment, or maybe I decide to do a cost segregation study on a property that I purchased. I have a big tax loss. But well, that can help alleviate maybe the gain I have, so I'm not as rushed to do the 1031. If I fail the 1031 exchange where I thought I was going to have the next property identified or closed on and I didn't, I can spread the gain out over 2 years as a result. I could also command maybe a higher price for my property. So if I go to a buyer and they don't have to go to the bank to qualify, then I could even negotiate a higher price for my property because for them, they don't have to come up with as much money up front and they could pay me monthly as a result. Then I can negotiate a higher price as a result of that exchange. I see some people that are trying to get out of the real estate game or trying to downsize their portfolio when they're older. They can do this to say, hey, I can get a stable income and not have to pay all the tax if I just want to sell my properties all at once. So it does give you some flexibility from that vantage point on why you would consider doing an installment agreement. If you have an installment agreement, you have to think, okay, the payments that I receive are going to be broken up into three different buckets. One, you're going to have the return of your basis. So if I bought a property at a certain value, I'm not going to pay tax on that again outside of the depreciation, which we'll get into in a minute. Then I have the actual gain on the property. So let's say I buy a property for $500,000. I sell it for $1 million. I have a $500,000 gain. I would normally pay tax on that gain all in the first year, but because I'm doing an installment sale, I can spread that gain out over the length of my installment payments. If I do an installment sale that is greater than $150,000, then I have to charge interest on the future payments that I get. So if I say, hey, I'm going to sell you this property for $1 million, you need to give me 20% up front, and then the other 80% we can spread out over 10 years or whatever the terms are of the agreement. That $800,000 that I'm deferring, the IRS makes me charge interest on it. So either I decide I'm going to have a set interest rate that I'm going to charge my buyer, or when they pay me the amount that I commanded. So let's say in that case, $800,000 over 10 years is $80,000 a year. If I don't charge them interest, then the IRS is going to assume a portion of those payments is interest. So effectively, I'm going to have less money come back to me to report, because the interest that I'm going to report is actually going to be considered income. So instead of me paying capital gains on the payments that I receive, I'm going to pay an income on a portion of it. So that's a very important distinction, that you have to charge interest at the minimum rate that the IRS requires, which currently is somewhere in the low 4% range. Let's get into the 8 different types of installment agreements. Now, some of these are pretty straightforward. I wouldn't even call them types per se, but they're kind of just broken out into these 8 categories. Number one, if you have a loss on your property, then that's not an installment sale. In fact, that wouldn't make any sense to even want to do an installment sale, because you'd want to just go ahead and take the loss up front, all right? So if I have a loss on the property, then that's not going to be an installment sale. I'm just going to take the loss. And just for your tips, the loss is either going to be considered an ordinary loss or a capital loss. So we'll get into stuff like that in the future. But ideally, ordinary losses are better, especially if they're business-related properties. You can elect out of installment sale, which just means you're going to report the gain all in the year, right? So you don't really have to do anything for that. You just have to report the gain all in that year, and that's effectively opting out of the installment sale. Now, if you report all the gain, you can't come back after the fact and say, hey, actually, I didn't really want to do that, unless you get special IRS approval, which they'd really not be motivated at all to give you that, because they want their money sooner instead of spreading it out. So if you want to do this, you better do it in the first year, because you really can't undo it. Once again, I said, if you have an installment agreement under $150,000, you don't have to charge interest. So if the sale price is below $150,000, then you don't have to charge interest. However, if it's greater than $5 million, then you actually have to pay interest to the IRS. So interestingly enough, if I have, let's say, $6 million worth of property and I want to do an installment agreement, the IRS is going to now make me pay them interest to defer it, because they know that they're not getting all the tax that you would have gotten up front. So they're actually going to charge me interest on my installment agreement. All right. Now, important to note that, let's say I had a $6 million property. If I'm married, I can actually go to my buyer and say, hey, look, you're going to make this transaction with me and my wife. So we're going to split up our property into $3 million and $3 million instead of $6 million. That gets me below the $5 million threshold, which means that we don't have to pay interest to the IRS. So if you have a big property like that and you want to do an installment agreement, that would be a good strategy to avoid that extra interest payment, because at that level, that interest payment is actually going to be pretty big. When you have depreciation recapture, so if you have a property that you were depreciating, you actually have to pay tax on the depreciation amount in the first year of sale. Even if you say, okay, let's say going back to my $1 million property, if I had depreciated that property at $100,000, I have to report that $100,000 as depreciation recapture in the first year, which is considered ordinary, which is either going to be taxed at my tax bracket, which if it's greater than 25%, I'm going to only pay 25%. If my tax bracket is lower than 25%, then I'm going to pay at my tax bracket. So if I'm in a 22% tax bracket and I have $100,000 of depreciation recapture, I'm going to pay $100,000 at the 22%. I have to pay that in the first year. So that's why if you do an installment, a sale, you want to get at least a down payment large enough to compensate for the extra tax you're going to have to pay relative to the depreciation recapture. Because even if you only got a $50,000 down payment and you got $100,000 of depreciation, you would have to still report $100,000 of depreciation recapture in that first year. Now, if I decide I have a installment sale and I decide to sell that to someone else, then the gain I was deferring immediately becomes taxable in that year. All right. So if I sell a property and someone else wants to buy that installment note from me, then the gain that I was deferring, I have to pay it all in that year. If I sell to a related party and they sell within 2 years, then I actually have to pay tax on that gain. It essentially prevents me from trying to go to my buddy to say, hey, I got this agreement with him, and then he sells the property and I'm basically trying to just defer tax. So if I have someone that's a relative, so my brother, my mom, my sister, people like that, my lineal descendants, if I sell to a related party and they sell the property within 2 years, then I basically have to pay tax on the sale proceeds in the year that they sell, okay, if it's within those first 2 years. I can't do this for house flippers. So house flippers can't do installment sales. I can't have bought a property, fixed it up, and then want to flip it and then do it on an installment note. That's not allowed in this case, because those properties are looked at more like inventory. And so inventory, we can't spread out the payments in that way, or at least defer the tax in that way. I also can't do this when it comes to stocks. So I can't say, hey, I'm going to sell this stock to my buddy and then I'm going to defer the tax. I can't do that. I can do it, though, on a business. And so that's where you have a few special circumstances, because the sale price of your business could be a little fluid depending on the deal terms that you have. So I'm just going to use a simple example. So traditionally, let's say I own a business. My basis in the business is $500,000. And I decide I want to sell this business for $1 million. Well, in that case, my gross profit percentage would be 50%, because I take $500,000, I divide that by the purchase price, I get 50%. So that means whatever payments I receive, half of them are going to be taxable. So it's kind of like an annuity in a sense, right? You think about how much did you put in, how much is the gain, and then you're kind of just going to split between, all right, how much is gain versus how much is the money that you put in. A similar concept. If I get a $100,000 payment, 50% of that is going to be taxable. The other 50% is going to be return on my basis, and then I spread it out. However, in this deal, I could basically say, hey, look, if you meet certain criteria, so, hey, you buy this business for me, but your sales numbers jump through the roof, or, hey, I'm going to stay on and help you out, and I'm helping you increase your sales, the sale price could jump up to $1.2 million instead of $1 million. Well, in that case, I'm going to calculate my gross profit percentage as if I had sold it for 1.2. So instead of treating it as if it was sold at $1 million, I'm going to say, hey, my gross profit percentage is actually not 50%. It's going to be, you know, the 700,000 over the 1.2. So it's going to be a little bit higher, closer to the 60% range. Or I could say, hey, look, you're going to pay me out over 10 years. So if we haven't determined a maximum sale price, but I'm just going to receive a payment from you for 10 years minimum. Basically, they're going to say, okay, you have $500,000 of basis. You guys agreed to a 10-year payout. So we're going to treat $50,000 of the payments you receive as a return of basis. So if 1 year I get, let's say I get $100,000, $50,000 is going to be my basis. $50,000 is going to be taxed. The next year, I received $110,000. Because if I tie my purchase price to sales, let's say, then hey, $50,000 is going to be my basis. You pay me $110,000, $60,000 is going to be taxed. So these rules get a little convoluted. So that's why you're going to want to make sure you work with someone who's got some experience and can know the ins and outs. There's one other obscure situation where if we don't determine the sale price, we don't determine the fixed period, which I don't know why you would do that. The IRS basically just says, okay, we're going to just spread out your payment, your basis over 15 years. So pretty obscure. So you probably won't really run into that, but something to know just to be thorough on some of the rules. So just to recap, an installment sale is paid out over more than one tax year. This could happen if you have a failed installment agreement or failed 1031 exchange, I should say. So let's just say that you're at the end of the year and you're not 100% sure if you're going to be able to close out this agreement, or you find out, hey, I'm actually not going to do this property. Well, what I would do is instead of closing out that property the next year, I'd say, hey, go ahead and send me part of the money this year and send me the other part next year, so that I could basically spread out the tax over two tax years. So if you have a 1031 that's kind of coming up on the end of the year and you feel like you're not going to be able to close it, you might want to get your intermediary to go ahead and send you part of those proceeds, so you go ahead and treat those as taxable and then spread out the tax over 2 years. You can actually combine a 1031 and an installment sale. So for example, if I have a property and I'm going to receive two different items. So let's say I'm going to sell this property and I'm going to receive another property plus cash in exchange. That cash I receive, I can actually spread that out over multiple payments. That's be the installment part. But then the property that I receive, that's going to be the 1031 component. So I can defer the tax based on the value of the property I receive. The cash I receive, or the boot, that can be spread out over multiple payments. That's going to be the installment sale component. Remember, you have to have interest. If you have depreciation, you're going to pay that depreciation expense in the first year. This is actually going to be reported on Form 6252. And if you have a business, you're also going to report that under 8594. So if it's a rental property, let's say, you're going to report that under 4797 and Form 6252. If it's a business, you're going to report it under 6252 and 8594. So let's look at a specific tax court case that dealt with an installment sale. This court case was Police versus Commissioner. And this case is where they sold a restaurant. Now, when you sell a restaurant, you're going to have multiple components a lot of times. And in their case, the sale price was $210,000. $120,000 of that was the building and the real estate. $90,000 was the equipment and furniture inside. And they determined, okay, our gross profit percentage is this. Theirs was 46%. And they were going to basically get a $35,000 down payment plus principal payments. We're going to start in year one. So what they did is they said, okay, we receive roughly $39,000 in year one, which is the down payment plus the first installment payment. They wanted to only report that as a capital gain of the 46% based on the gross profit percentage. Well, the IRS said, look, that equipment and stuff that you own, that is depreciation. That is what's called 1245 property. So that 1245 property, you need to pay tax on that first, then you could spread out the rest of your payments. So that's what I meant when I said before, hey, if you have depreciation expense, the IRS wants you to pay tax on that first, because the IRS looks at that as, hey, we gave you a tax deduction to reduce your income in previous years. So since that tax deduction reduced your income and now you're basically selling this property, we want you to pay tax as if it was income that you're receiving on the amount that was attributed to the tax deduction that you previously had. So they want to kind of match the deduction with the payment that you're getting. So if I have something that's depreciated, I got to report that first, then I can spread out the rest of my payments upon the traditional installment agreement. So this couple, they effectively said, hey, look, we want to attribute the payments to where we can only pay a portion of our income to be considered capital gain and a portion of it to be considered ordinary. So they wanted to say our depreciation was $10,000, our gain was $10,000, and now we're getting payments over 10 years. We want to be able to say, hey, half of the tax we pay is income, half of it is capital gain. IRS says, no. You need to report all of that amount that's attributed to your depreciation in the first year. So they went to tax court. The IRS won in this case. And so they basically had to pay tax at the higher rate. So if you have depreciation, you want to make sure that the installment agreement makes sense, because you are going to have to pay that depreciation recapture in the first year. So that's why you have to make sure you negotiate a big enough down payment to factor in the taxes that you're going to owe, and basically look at your future years or the future years of the installment agreement payment to make sure that the tax savings makes sense as far as doing the agreement to begin with. Because you're not going to really save money in taxes by doing the installment sale. You really want to determine, does it make sense at all to do? And whether you'd be better off just getting your money and investing that money versus having to wait to get those payments. Because one other thing, if this person defaults on that agreement, now you're going to have to either probably lose money on the installment sale, but you will then have to pay the tax if you repossess the property. So there's certain things that just can get a little complicated if you do have the installment sale. And so it is a strategy that you have. It can certainly lower your tax bill, but you want to make sure that you take a multi-year approach to determine if it's going to be good for you. Because as we always say, our motto is keep more of what you earn. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.